You're listening to Divorce Literacy with the Divorce Lending Association, a divorce podcast where we dig deep into issues of divorce that center around the marital home, other real property, and divorce mortgage planning, helping divorcing homeowners and their divorce team make more informed decisions regarding home equity solutions during and after divorce.
Welcome, everyone. This is Adam Coleman, and with me today, I have Hazel Secca. She's a certified financial planner and a certified divorce financial analyst and founder of Align Financial Solutions. So on this episode, we're going to be discussing the role of a certified divorce financial analyst, or CDFA is what we kind of refer to them as in the industry, kind of what their role is in the divorce process and also how it differs from a traditional financial advisor. So Hazel, thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me today, Adam.
Absolutely. Well, before we jump into more of the specifics, tell us a little bit about yourself and kind of why you went into financial planning, but then specifically divorce financial planning.
Yeah, I guess there's a lot of components to why I started doing the financial planning, because I originally majored in psychology at the University of Buffalo. I guess I started off from a transactional side of the financial planning, financial advising, but I did decide to become a CFP because I thought just needed to have an official designation to position myself as an expert. And I guess the biggest reason I became a financial planner was because I was very interested in making a lot of money and being successful and, you know, a lot of money-related things. As I got more into the industry and the more I know and the more I actually interact with the clients, that's when I sort of realized my real passion of helping women going through their life transitions. And then that's when I became a divorce financial advisor and wanted to help more women going through divorce or after divorce.
Just to let everybody know, when did you become a CDFA? Like, what's the timeline of all this?
So I got a CFP designation in 2016 and CDFA designation in 2019.
So kind of jumping into a little bit of the granular things about this, I know some certified divorce financial analysts, they tend to focus more on the financial advisory piece, and then they just have the designation just in case it comes up. And then others are strictly like they don't do any kind of financial advisory and they just do the CDFA work. Where does yours fit in? Are you kind of a hybrid between the two where you do some divorce specific work and then some financial advisory work as well?
Yeah. So I do comprehensive financial planning after divorce, but I also do the CDFA work during the process, because I feel like that's when a lot of things make a big difference. Actually, one of the reasons I got into the CDFA world was a lot of women, they came to me after divorce was finalized. Of course, it's not easy to fix anymore because everything was settled and it would be a lot more difficult and expensive to go back to the attorney in the court. So people said, whatever, let's figure out from now. And then their financial future depends hugely on the decision that was made during the divorce process. So I felt really bad not having all that process and everything figured out from my understanding. Like, we couldn't change it anymore. We were just going off of what was already decided. And then that's when I really wanted to make a difference in their life during the divorce process, because a lot of times it seemed like not enough financial related information was discussed even during the divorce process with an attorney.
So do you do some of the divorce planning work for non-traditional financial planning clients, or do you typically run into this with your existing clientele if they happen to be going through a divorce?
So I started off from my existing clients going through divorce, but now I do the non-traditional financial planning clients who's approaching me for the divorce process. I can help both of them.
Gotcha. And just for people that are interested in kind of having that additional specialty, they don't have to be a ongoing client of yours. They can just strictly do the divorce planning work during the divorce if they wanted to. And then if they wanted to continue that relationship, they have that option, correct?
That is correct.
Okay, perfect. Well, what does that look like, I guess? I think most people kind of have an understanding of what a traditional financial advisor relationship looks like in terms of investment management and all the other comprehensive financial planning. But specific to a divorce, what all are you going through with somebody going through a divorce that kind of gets into the divorce financial planning arena? So are you going through mostly budgeting? Is it really investment advice? Is it mostly tax planning? What does that look like in the real world?
Right. I guess a lot of the things that we discuss would be asset division and what are some of the tax implications of that division. Because I think attorneys, they know how to go off of the financial statements that they get from the clients, but they don't know, obviously, nitty gritty of the implications of like each account type and then what that exactly means for like a future financial projections for each client. So that's where it can make a big difference in the client's financial future when you can make sure when you divide the asset in certain ways, like what's the implications of their retirement plan and then what that looks like. Does it make sense? Because a lot of times it's really hard to understand their future goals and then address what you need to have from the divorce process. But when you discuss with attorneys, their goal is going to be try to get as much as possible. But what does that exactly mean? I want to just make sure that they know what they need for their financial future.
Does that analysis, I guess, help in any way during negotiations when it comes to alimony? Usually child support is fairly well structured per the state in terms of how much you get based on the age or the number of children. But do you find that you're able to have a little bit more of an impact on the alimony or spousal support once you do your analysis? Or is that pretty well set in stone too?
I mean, definitely there is analysis that helps with the negotiation because I feel like a lot of times alimony, it is volatile. Like it's not something set in stone where they have to provide. So we have to have some reasoning behind it if they're not the breadwinner of the family. Like, why do you need it? And projecting if you're going to go back to school and then change the career, like what does that exactly look like? And then to get there, how much do you need and for what purpose? So I feel like it has a little bit more objective reasoning behind to make both parties understand what to expect during the division.
Gotcha. What's the biggest thing, or maybe some of the biggest things that you see attorneys usually miss that you kind of have to come in and say, there's a little bit of a nuance to this because of the financial planning piece or the tax planning piece? Are there certain things that you've seen in the past that the attorneys just kind of tend to not think about?
Yeah, I think it really depends on each attorney because I feel like some attorneys don't really look into any of the financial aspect. I mean, right. They do look at the statements and they literally divide into half for each party, but really, what does that exactly mean after tax? And then a lot of the clients who don't know what's going on, they're going to just accept because one of the authority figures of the divorce is going to say, this is how it works. But really, some of the attorneys have zero idea what's going on regard to like any finances. And some of the attorneys, they do know some bits and pieces here and there, but it's just not comprehensive enough. They don't know exactly how that division or the whatever they're deciding right now is going to impact how much ever in the future. So, but the biggest thing I see is the different asset types. For example, like liquid versus non-liquid, what's the differences? Cash in hand versus some of the locked up money, such as a primary residence. They solely see that as a dollar figure, which is really crazy to me because I mean, like you have $2 million house and then you have a lot of equity there, but like, you know, it's not the same as cash. Right. So those kind of things, or, you know, you don't know what you don't know. I really like that saying because majority of the attorneys are not going to go in detail of the like 401k if there's a Roth compartment inside of the 401k. Like, mm-hmm. I don't think a lot of people even know about that, to be honest. So those kind of things, like, I guess the big thing is tax implications of each different type of account.
Right. Well, and to, I guess, drive that home a little bit more, I mean, the issue is that 50% of a taxable brokerage account or a checking account is obviously taxed very differently than 50% of a retirement account. Is that kind of what you're seeing? Is that they're just not considering the fact that the value of a potential Roth account that's tax-free forever, basically, is, they're treating that as the same as a checking account, essentially. Is that what you're seeing?
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Gotcha.
Right. So one of the examples was one was getting the cash equivalent, but it was non-IRA. And then the female spouse got all just IRA. So she had to take a lot of money out and get penalized for withdrawing money before 59 and a half and then paying right. for the attorney fees. So she got hit a lot because she got hit by the tax and penalty and you pay the attorney with that. So it's like at the end, like she had nothing left.
Right. No, the liquid versus illiquid, certainly that would be a bigger impact than anything, even the tax implications. So no, that's a good one. And especially with a lot of these situations where the money is tied up in the house that may not be liquid or accessible either, that definitely comes up quite a bit in my world as well. I guess any advice for people that are kind of going down that divorce path that are thinking, I hear this a lot where people think, oh, my situation is not that complicated. The attorney should be the only person that needs to really handle it. What are the type of complications or what do you think usually pops up to where people really do need to get a CDFA like yourself or you know somebody that's in that arena involved in the divorce process?
I guess it's really hard to see from your own perspective. So at least talk to one of the divorce professionals outside of attorney to just see if that would be even the best ideal situation, because a majority of the divorce, they don't go to trial. So we want to make sure it's collaborative and conversational and both party is at least communicating about like what's the results, like a financial result or any divorce-related matters. So I feel like there are a lot of different options other than just going to a traditional family law attorney. So talk to a divorce professional outside of the attorney to make sure that you're on the right path.
No, I think that's great advice. I see it on my side too, because I'll sometimes be one of the first people to kind of get involved and they don't even think about the fact that they need to have like a financial expert. And some of these scenarios are not simple at all. Like they have right. five different rental properties. They've got $1 million in a retirement account. They've got other brokerage accounts and they're like, I don't really need anybody else involved. And
yeah,
far simpler situations probably need somebody else to take a look at that, because like you said, the attorneys are not set up to do that. Yeah, I deal with a lot of divorce attorneys, no knock on them at all. It's just not their area of expertise. And they'll usually be the first ones to tell you that if they're being honest with you. So I think having somebody, I usually run across more scenarios than not that they should hopefully have somebody on the financial side to help them beyond just the attorney trying to figure it out. So, and usually we can figure it out. Like you can usually figure out if somebody like myself needs to be involved, if it's mortgage related. I can usually do the opposite where I can basically say, all right, here's the things that a financial planner might need to get involved with. You might want to reach out to a CDFA. And so I think that's great advice. Divorce coaches would be another one. They usually mm-hmm. have a pretty good handle on kind of who the parties of the divorce and kind of where everybody fits in. So that might be another good option for people. So, and I guess that kind of jumps to the next question is everybody thinks the attorney is kind of the end all be all and that maybe the only person that needs to get involved. Aside from an attorney, we mentioned the financial advisor, your role, my role, obviously divorce mortgage planner. We even mentioned divorce coach. Are there any other key components to a strong divorce team that you've seen be a lot more effective?
I think a co-parenting expert if there's children involved. Yeah. And I feel like it really sounds counterintuitive, but it's just so much cheaper, like affordable to hire multiple divorce professionals outside of an attorney because, you know, people end up talking about your whole life, like, you know, attorney being a therapist, attorney being a financial advisor, attorney being anything is costing them so much because it's just hourly. And then it is supposed to be like a legal process. But if you talk to your own therapist or coach and divorce lending professional and financial advisor all separately, it's just going to be a lot more conducive conversation where you're not going to go through so many hours with just sole divorce attorney for your everything.
Right. Yeah, they're not experts at everything. So let them handle the legal side. And I will probably be guaranteed to say that their hourly fee is quite a bit more than everybody else's. So
yeah,
you don't necessarily want them to be the ones that are spending all that hourly fee, especially in a case that they might need to learn about the finances. So they're doing research. They're trying to possibly ask you or somebody like yourself or me to kind of learn how to do things themselves when they should just get one of us involved and it makes the process easier. I think it's not intuitive for a divorcing spouse to think, oh, the more people I have, they think it's going to be more expensive and convoluted. But it's absolutely the opposite where, one, my services don't actually charge anything. So it makes it a little easier of a sell on my part. But even for yours, you know, you have obviously a consulting fee that's far cheaper than trying to have the attorney get involved and try to handle the finances and the amount of problems and costs that you could incur by them doing it wrong far outseed any sort of fee that you would pay. So I definitely agree. I hope more people do that more often and not just try to rely on the attorneys. I think it would make things a lot easier for sure. So, and I guess that brings up the next topic I wanted to kind of address before we get going is, you know, you've seen situations obviously where the attorneys are the only ones involved. Where you probably know that a CDFA should be involved. What are some of the potential issues that you see when you're only relying on the attorney? Like we talked about some of the tax implications. That's obviously a big one. Are there any other pitfalls that you might think of that a client might face if they're going through a divorce without a financial planner?
I always say that during my presentation or any other like speaking engagement where like a divorce attorneys are of course involved during the divorce process because it is a legal process. And then at the end of your divorce, you're going to have this finalization of this legal process saying you are divorced, you're no longer married. But I feel like because of that, it's just like misconception that attorneys do everything. And then like you said, attorneys are going to, for example, email other professionals to get the answer, to get back to the client, and that each email costs, I believe, their 15 minutes of the time. Like any email, like it's, I mean, they're not going to count 2 minutes of their time. It's like every 15 minute-ish per email. It's just like so many back and forth, and there's like a misunderstanding, miscommunication. It's just, I mean, tax implication, that's very technical side of the missing part of just having an attorney. But I feel like having a just team of professional and having a collaborative effort for divorce, it's just lessens the stress and that burden and kind of a tension that you might go through. I mean, you definitely go through during the divorce process.
Any other, I guess, high level advice? Like, what do you think the first step for somebody that's contemplating divorce? What do you think the first step should probably be for somebody?
I mean, this is a little biased because I always say, talk to a CDFA, talk to a certified divorce financial analyst, because once you start figuring out and then you are in the process of divorce, things might be missing and things are getting hidden and assets are missing. It's going away. It's getting spent. So I just feel like CDFA is the more of a comprehensive person who's like looking into transactions, because a lot of people also confuse with the forensic accountant, but they're more of a tracing transactions in the past and investigative effort in that financial transactions. But I feel as a CDFA, I really think that collaborative effort within the spouses works so much better than just going back and forth. I mean, not everybody tries to argue during the divorce. It just kind of happens. But if you just have a team of experts go to CDFA and then you're going to get sent to you, for example. And I guess one of my biggest advice would be talk to a professional that's specialized in divorce, not necessarily just a generalist. And then if you don't know where to go, I mean, they should be directing you to right professionals. There's just so much you can do as a one type of professional, like law professional, financial professional. I mean, I can never do what you do. I can never do what the legal professionals are going to do. And then I'm not going to even dip into it because I know I'm not going to be the most efficient person doing it. So, yeah.
No, I think that's perfect. And I don't have the bias that you do. So, but I tend to agree. I mean, I think outside of the child custody issue, which obviously that's a major one that you need somebody to get involved with. Yeah, you know, I would say the financial piece is the other big one. I mean, you've got finance and custody issues to kind of go through. With any kind of divorce, obviously, if there's no kids, then it's mostly all finances at that point. So the CDFA makes more sense as kind of the central hub, just because they understand the overall financial piece of it. And then, yeah, if there's a house, I get involved. If there's, you know, something else, child custody issue, bring in a child custody expert. I think always having an emotional aspect, you know, having therapist, divorce coach is always a good idea. But then, like you said, the legal side, it's a must have, but I don't necessarily think it's steering the ship in most cases, even though that's traditionally how it operates. But the first step that everybody has, usually it's like, all right, contact your divorce attorney. And that's right. It. And there's never the thought process of maybe we need to gather up some more information so that you can then go to the attorney with a lot more data and a lot more of all these things that are thought about of like, all right, who would keep the house or how would we set up these accounts? And obviously, we're talking a collaborative, amicable situation. It's a totally different scenario. If they need to go to litigation, obviously get an attorney involved. But for these, which I think you and I are traditionally working on, fairly amicable situations where people kind of understand that we're just trying to get to the ultimate goal of what these people want to get at the end of the day.
Right.
The finances are a big one. So if we can get that nailed down, give our respective reports to the attorney, I think everybody wins at that point, which is good. So make this process a lot less stressful than it needs to be, which it's obviously hard to avoid some of the stresses involved. But if we can alleviate some of that, I think that's the key. So, well, this has been perfect. I appreciate you taking the time. If anybody would like to learn more about you, both financial planning services and the divorce services, what's the best place to track you down?
Email me at hazel@alignfinancialsolutions.com, or I always hang around on LinkedIn, so you can find me at Hazel Secco.
Perfect. Well, I appreciate you taking the time, Hazel. It's always a pleasure.
You too. Thank you for having me.
All right.
Thanks for listening to Divorce Literacy. Discover more strategies and solutions on divorce mortgage planning at divorcelendingassociation.com.